The title of this sermon is How to Stop It. How to Stop It. And the reason why this is important is because we've all tried to stop it and failed. We've all tried to stop doing something, some sin, and we failed. All of us have tried to make a change in our lives. We've tried to stop it, but had a hard time. We found difficulty in stopping. This Sunday, obviously, we're taking a week off from living the Sermon on the Mount, and we're going to be back in there next Sunday, but I wanted to take a week every once in a while to focus on some essential teachings of Christianity and essential teaching of spiritual growth, and that's what we're looking at this morning. Now, you've probably tried to stop and failed many times, maybe hundreds of times, with a particular habit or addiction. Maybe you tried to stop lusting with your eyes and with your mind, but you failed. Maybe you tried to stop committing sexual sin, but you failed. Maybe you tried to stop losing your temper with your spouse and your kids, but you failed. Maybe you tried to stop eating unhealthy foods, but you failed. Or maybe you tried to be more consistent with your exercising, but you failed to live up to the resolutions and the decisions that you've made. Maybe you tried to stop doing drugs or getting drunk or stop smoking or things like that, but you failed over and over and over again. I'm sure you've tried to stop and failed. Let me know that I'm not talking to myself this morning. Has anybody ever tried to stop and failed? Yeah. So the question that I want to answer this morning is how to stop. How do you stop? How do you change? Now, if you're not a committed Christ follower, then we're so glad that you're here this morning. If you're not a committed Christian, then we're so glad that you're here this morning. We want you here. We want this to be a place each and every Sunday where people who don't follow Christ yet and are just seeking can come and comfortably learn from a safe distance. But here's the thing. The reason why I'm glad that you're here, if you're not a committed Christ follower, is because this morning you're going to learn about God's plan for change, how God's plan, a biblical plan for how God wants to change and equips his people and empowers his people to change and to overcome those areas of their lives that they want to stop, they want to cease. This is God's plan for changing his people. Now, even if you're not a Christ follower, though, I realize that you've probably tried to change and failed. There are probably certain things about your life, about your that you would like to change. Certain habits, patterns, addictions that are hurting you and those you love, and they're holding you back professionally, they're holding you back relationally. Even if you're not a Christian, this is a relevant message because everybody has things about themselves that we want to change, right? Isn't that true? We all have things about us that we're like, man, I just wish I could stop being like that. I don't want to be that guy anymore. And so how do you stop? And so even if you're not a Christian, I want you to know, and this is for Christians and non-Christians, for believers, committed Christ followers or not, God loves you just the way you are. Just the way you are, sin and all. But he does love you too much to let you stay that way if you're his child. And so God has a plan, not just to say, stop it. He has a plan to teach you how to stop it. And he's got power to give you to help you stop it. So you're going to learn about that this morning. But if you are a Christ follower, which most of the people in this room and in most churches around the country are Christ followers in church, then this message is essential because change is not optional, is it? For us as Christ followers, we have to change. Jesus wants us to become more like him. He wants us to become more like Christ in our character and conduct and convictions. He wants us to put away sin and become more loving, more Christ-like, more useful to him. And that's a command. That's imperative. And so as Christ followers, this is essential. How do I change so I can please God? But here's the dilemma. Here's the tension that most Christ followers live with. I already want to change because I love Jesus. He saved me, and I want to change, but I'm struggling. How do you stop it? I want to change. I don't need somebody to stand up and say, you need to change, because I have a relationship with Jesus, and he's telling me, stop it. How? How do I change? And so the question that I want to wrestle with this morning and hopefully answer for you in part is, how do you change? How do you stop doing those things that God doesn't want you to do? How do you become the person that God wants you to become? And is change even possible? Because I know it's possible to get to that place in your life where you've tried to change and change and change so many times and you've failed so many times that you get to a place of despair and you think, you know, I've seen other people deal with the same issue and they've changed, but I can't. So maybe there's something wrong with me. Maybe I was born this way, with this tendency, with this inclination. Maybe that's why I can't change. Can I even change? Or am I just going to be stuck in defeat the rest of my life? Well, Jesus talked about this very topic. If you have a Bible, you can turn to John chapter 15, or you can just look on your worship guide and your notes there. John chapter 15. Jesus talked about this very subject, and he talked about it on the night before he died. Now, the unique thing about Jesus and his death is that he knew when he was going to die. And so what we know about Jesus is that since he knew when he was going to die, he chose his last words very carefully. Wouldn't you, if you knew when you were going to die, the day, the hour, then your last few weeks and days, even months, you would choose your words very carefully. You would have some things to say. You would have to reserve your most important words for then. And so Jesus' last words are very important. He was spending some time with his 12 closest followers, his disciples, his apostles. He was teaching them some very important things. And John, Jesus is one of Jesus' closest friends, one of his disciples, John, not John the Baptist, but the Apostle John. John wrote down this account in his gospel, the Gospel of John. Chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus said this. We don't have time to unpack all of the different verses in this passage about the vine and the branches. We're just going to look at this one verse. We are going to have some time to look at it in more detail in home group this week. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So Jesus is teaching his disciples an essential lesson about how to produce fruit. He wants them to produce fruit. Now, what exactly is fruit? We're not talking about apples and oranges and peaches and grapes here. What is fruit? Now, if you look at your worship guide, what kind of fruit is that, kids? Let's hope that's grapes. I was trying to make that look like grapes. That's right, but we're not talking about grapes here. What is fruit? Fruit, if you look on your worship guide, fruit is a metaphor. It's an analogy. It's a symbol that Jesus is using. It's a metaphor for acting like Christ and being used by God to impact others. Acting like Christ and being used by God to impact others. So Jesus says that we are branches and that our job is to produce big, juicy, healthy, and an abundance of fruit, lots of it. So Jesus wants you to act like him, not to act like your God. You're going in the wrong direction. He wants you to act like him in your character and your conduct and in your convictions, and he wants you to be useful to him, to serve him, to make an impact for him. That's what he wants, and that's the kind of fruit that he wants to produce. And that's exactly what you want if you're a Christ follower. You want to please Jesus. You want to act like him and imitate him and serve him and be useful to him. That's what you want. And so Jesus said that he is like the vine, or we don't have any grapevines, not many grape growers around here, not many vineyards around here. So if you think of a trunk of a tree, that's what Jesus is. When he says he's the vine, he's more like the trunk of a tree, the major part of a tree, and we are the branches. And Jesus says in order for the branches to produce fruit, all the branch has to do is stay connected, keep a quality close connection to the vine or to the trunk, and then those branches are going to produce fruit. All the branches have to do is just stay connected and they will produce. Jesus is telling his disciples, just stay connected and there's going to be much fruit in your life. Now, what does it mean to remain in him? Jesus says, remain in me. Some translations use the word abide. Jesus says, abide in me. Here's a definition for you. To remain or abide is to keep a constant close connection. Think about a branch connected to a trunk or a vine. It's keeping a constant close connection. So Jesus told his disciples, stay connected and fruit happens. Stay connected and fruit happens. Keep a constant close connection and change is going to happen. Jesus told his disciples, keep a constant close connection to me, and I will change you into the person that I want you to be. Now, I love this because Jesus, his emphasis in this passage is not to his disciples, I need you to change your bad behavior, guys. You're a bunch of failures, losers, drunkards. You need to stop it, all right? You need to produce fruit. That wasn't his emphasis here in this passage. He didn't say, you need to change. He didn't say, you need to go produce fruit. Go. His emphasis in this passage was to remain. He said, remain in me, keep a constant and close connection to me, and you will produce fruit. He said, just your primary focus in life doesn't need to be on change. Your primary focus in life needs to be keeping a constant, close connection to Jesus, and he will change you. In other words, change is not something that you do as a Christian. Change is something that Jesus does in and through you. Did you get that? Change is not something that you do. It's something that Jesus does in and through you as you focus on staying close to him. So here's what this means for you and me today. I wrote this down in a principle. It kind of sounds like a proverb to help you remember it. As you keep a constant, close connection to Jesus, he will change you. As you keep a constant, close connection to Jesus, he will change you. Stay intimately connected to Jesus. He will change you from who you are into the person that he wants you to be and into the person that you want to be. Just stay connected. He will change you. So let's say you want to become more loving. You want to become more joyful, more cheerful, more positive. You want to become more patient. Stay connected to Jesus. Keep a constant, close connection to Jesus. He will change you. Or let's say that you want to become more self-disciplined and healthy in terms of your diet and exercise. I think that's a godly goal. Jesus says, stay connected to me and I will change you. Just stay connected, keep a constant close connection and I will change you. Let's say you want to overcome your addiction to smoking or dipping or alcohol or drugs or pornography. Jesus says, keep a constant close connection to me and I will change you. Let's say that you want God to use you to make an impact on others for him. You want God to use you. You say, God, please use me. Use my life. I want my life to count. Jesus says, keep a constant, close connection to me, and I will use you. I will work through you. I will make an impact through you. Now, let me, again, point out that Jesus' emphasis here was not on you changing yourself. His emphasis was not on you producing fruit. And this is where Christian change is different than your normal 12-step program. But this is where the original creators of the 12-step program were Christians. And the reason why they always say that you need to tap into a higher source is because they realize this principle. But not any higher source is going to work. You need Jesus. But Jesus says, he doesn't place the emphasis on us changing, on you changing. He says, you focus, make it your central and highest priority of life to stay connected to me, and I will change you. As long as a branch stays connected to the vine, fruit is inevitable. And the branch didn't do anything. It just stayed connected to the vine. The vine did all the work. And that's what you have to do as a Christian. You have to keep that constant, close connection to Jesus. Now, let me make one more insight about fruit that I think will encourage you. Fruit doesn't happen instantaneously, does it? Fruit doesn't happen overnight, does it? Now, that's the way we would like for Jesus to change us instantly. Like as soon as we're reading the Word of God and the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and says, that area of your life is off limits, that area of your life is out of bounds, you need to stop doing that. As soon as the Holy Spirit convicts us, we would like to just be able to say, okay, I'm going to stop. And we'd like for fruit just to pop up instantly, don't we? Wouldn't that be great? But is that the way that fruit grows? Fruit happens over a long period of time. It's a slow, gradual process. Listen, in some instances, Jesus changes people and in aspects of your life radically instantly. But that's the exception and not the norm. At times, whenever we're wrestling with a particular sin, a particular pattern, a particular habit that we want to overcome, we think, maybe if I just go to some kind of special healing service, maybe if they just lay hands on me and I can get zapped, you know, and stop wrestling with this sin. Listen, that may happen from time to time, but it is the exception. The normal Christian experience is that change and fruit happen over a long period of time. And that's important to remember, because what we do is whenever we sense that God is telling us to repent, to stop it, with a particular area of our lives, we immediately, we go to work and we try to change. And then we fail. And then we say, God, I'm so sorry. I recommit, Lord. And we try again. And then we fail. And we say, oh man, I just feel so bad. I don't know why I keep disobeying you, Lord. I'm so unfaithful. Lord, I recommit. I'm going to do it this time. And we go a few days and then we fail again. And then we say, well, maybe something wrong with this change stuff. And then we give up. Say, maybe this whole Christian growth thing isn't for me. I mean, I still believe in Jesus, but maybe there's something wrong with me because I can't seem to change. But I want you to know that change doesn't happen instantly. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen as soon as you try. Change happens gradually over a long period of time. Change happens, let me put it this way, fruit grows as the branch keeps a constant close connection to the vine over a long period of time. As you keep a constant close connection to Jesus over a long period of time, you'll see some major change happen in your life. God almost always gives you a vision of fruit long before we actually produce that fruit. God will give you a vision of the change He wants you to make or the change He wants to make in your life long before you'll actually be able to make that change. How many of you can identify with that? You can say, yeah, I remember when God first told me to stop doing this or to start acting this way, but it was a long time before I got there on a consistent basis. So don't be discouraged whenever change isn't happening like that. Don't be discouraged whenever change isn't instantaneous in your life. You just keep that connection to Jesus. And listen, you may not be able to make radical changes in your life overnight, but if you keep a constant and close connection to Jesus over a period of a year, 3 years, 5 years, then I guarantee you, 5 years from now, the person you will be radically different than the person you are today. In other words, radical change will happen in your life. It may not happen instantly. Now, there was a few times in my life where radical instant change did happen. Whenever I was first saved, when I committed my life to Jesus, I was in it was the summer after fifth grade. By God's grace, He saved me at a young age. And when He saved me, there were some radical instant changes that happened in my life. Now, He didn't change everything in my life instantly. He didn't make me a mature Christian right away. Oh, no, I'm still growing to this day. But I remember I had a potty mouth. I said a lot of bad words. Even though I was raised in the church and my parents didn't talk like that, I thought, people I was hanging around, that's the way we talked. And I remember when I got home, I made a commitment to Jesus at summer camp. He God saved me. And when I got home from summer camp, I had no problem with cursing ever again. I was just gone. That was God. I didn't even try to do it. Like, I didn't say, I want to stop cursing. It wasn't even a desire of mine. I remember that I wasn't a big reader. I was good at reading, but not for fun. It was not one of the things that I do for fun. And so I was never really interested in reading the Bible. When I got home from summer camp after I got saved, I could not get enough of God's Word. And I started reading it as a middle schooler every day, reading the Bible. That was just a chat. That wasn't a goal that I set or a resolution that I made. It just happened to me. God will change you. And I could name some other changes that happened when I got saved. I know of some other people that were alcoholics, addicts to drugs, and they got saved. And in some cases, God radically and instantly freed them of those things. But that's the exception. Most of the time, change, spiritual change, will be a long, slow process. As you stay connected to Jesus, moment by moment, all through the day, every day, over a long period of time. And I could tell you, radical change, radical after radical change in my life that have happened, not instantly, but over a long period of time of staying close to Jesus. I remember whenever I was in high school, there was a particular addiction that I was wrestling with. And I was a Christ follower, but there was this sinful addiction in my life that I was convicted about and that I wanted to stop. And I couldn't seem to stop. And I would try, and I'd make a new commitment. I would go for several days, and I would experience some freedom for like 24 hours. And then I would fail again. I would go back to my sin. And I would be so sorrowful, and I would just hate my sin, and I'd be so disgusted with myself. And I'd say, Lord, I'm gonna do it this time. I'm never going to go back to my sin again. And I would go a few days, and then I would fail again. And it was very, very discouraging. But I kept, by God's grace, I kept a close connection with Jesus. for the next few years. I just stayed close to Jesus, kept seeking him, kept trying to grow in him, and eventually Jesus radically changed me. But it wasn't instant. It was over a long period of time of wrestling with that sin, of staying connected to Jesus. So here's what I want you to do. Here's my goal for you and for me. So that you can continue to change and never stop growing and become the person God wants you to be, what I'm trying to get you to do is to learn how to do life with God 24/7. I want you to learn how to talk to, listen to, and respond to Jesus all day long. I want you to develop the habit, the lifestyle of keeping a constant close connection with Jesus all day long. All day long. To carry on a conversation with God all day. To be conscious of God all day long. To include God in all your comings and goings, all your actions and reactions. Now, some people have called this in the history of Christianity through the years, they've called this practicing the presence of God. They've called this spiritual breathing. You might call this walking in the Spirit. It's just being God conscious, keeping a conversation with Jesus, keeping a close connection with him all day long. From the moment that you wake up to the moment that you go to bed at night. In the shower, if you're shaving, putting on makeup, when you're driving, making breakfast, in meetings, at work, all day long, you're keeping a constant, close connection with Jesus. Let me get practical. Let me show you what this looks like. Four ways to stay connected with Jesus. Number one, connect with Jesus in moments of temptation. Connect with Jesus in moments of temptation. Let's say that you're addicted to something and it's calling your name. Come on, just this one more time. Just nobody's going to know. It's no big deal. Come on, just nobody's going to find out. What do you do in those moments of temptation? You connect to Jesus. You say, Jesus, deliver me from this temptation, Lord. Help me in this moment. I learned a cool prayer from another pastor, Andy Stanley, in one of his books about how to pray in moments of temptation. It's a simple little prayer that has stuck with me. God, I can't, but you can. As you're being tempted, you're feeling the onslaught of the devil's temptation in your life, and you know this is about to get tough. God, I can't. But you can. God, I can't say no. I cannot do this, Lord. What you're doing is you're admitting your dependence on God. You're admitting your weakness and your need for God. And you're saying, God, I can't do this, but with your power, you can through me. I can't produce this fruit, Lord, but you can. Another prayer that I've learned to pray whenever I'm tempted is, Lord, I want to sin, but I don't want to want to. Lord, I feel tempted, and everything in me, everything about my flesh wants to sin right now, Lord, but I know that's wrong, and I want to please you. Please change my desires. You need to learn, as you stay connected with Jesus, to tell him everything, to connect with him, whenever you're on your way to get your next fix, saying, Lord, I'm going to get another fix, but I know I shouldn't do this, but I can't help it. Lord, I can't, but you can. Help me, Lord, change my want to. Change my desires. So connect with God, with Jesus in moments of temptation. Here's another one. Number two, connect with Jesus or connect to Jesus in moments of failure. There will be moments in your life, lots of them, whenever you will fail in your battle against sin. And whenever you will sin, you'll mess up. I know that's shocking to some of you because you've never failed yet. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You're going to fail. What do? You need to develop the habit of whenever you fail to run straight to God in prayer, right in that moment. Don't wait until you can get alone. Just right in that moment, just say, Jesus, I blew it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please help me not to do this again. Please help me to change. Please forgive me. Help me to repent. Right when you sin, you need to learn not to run from God and hide. Run to him after you failed and say, God, forgive me. Sometimes we act like children. You know what a child does? A child thinks that if it doesn't look at you, you can't see the child. Like a child, a small child, it'll cover its eyes and it'll think that nobody can see him. That's the way we think. We think that if we sin and if we just ignore God and don't talk to him, maybe he'll forget about us and won't mess with us. But listen, God is right there with you the whole time that you've sinned. And he hasn't left you after you've sinned. Once you're saved, you're always saved. So you might as well stop hiding, stop running, and in that moment, run to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I blew it again. Please help me to repent. Number three, call on God in moments of anxiety or any emotion. What I mean here is use your emotions to your advantage. Anytime you feel anxious or worried or fearful or angry or impatient or frustrated, use your emotions as reminders. I need to connect with Jesus right now. Connect with, Lord, please help me. Give me strength. Give me courage. Give me the ability to overcome this temptation. Lord, help me in this time. Give me patience. Connect with God in those moments of anxiety. A few months ago, my boss at work, my other job, he told me, he said, Andy, come see me later on in my office. I need to talk to you about something. Now, most of you guys know that's usually not a good thing, you know. And so immediately I start freaking out. I'm like, oh, great. What did I do now? What's this going to be about? I could feel anxiety and stress, you know, in my body. And so immediately I started praying. I started saying, Lord, please help me. Lord, give me courage. Give me favor with my boss. Lord, whatever he's about to do, don't let him do it. You know, bomb the building or something, Lord. So I went to his office later on, and he said, Andy, I just want to let you know you've been doing a great job, and we're giving you a raise. I'm serious. That's what the meeting was. And it was 2 minutes long, got a raise, and walked out of there and went back to work. That's my kind of meeting. Now, I'm not saying that happened because I connected with Jesus in that moment, but connecting with Jesus in that moment of stress, of anxiety, helped me. It helped me to stay focused on him. It helped me to stay focused on my job. It helped me not to freak out. And so what this means is whenever you feel anxious or afraid or frustrated or angry, don't wait until you can get alone at home in your prayer closet, get on your knees and really pray. No. Right in that moment, whatever you're doing in your mind, connect with God in those moments of anxiety. Number four, finally, is commit to obey God's whispers. Commit to obey God's whispers. Remaining or abiding in Christ, keeping that close, constant connection, is not just about talking to God. It's about listening to his still, small voice. And I'm going to tell you something, that the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in you. He is resident and hopefully present in your life. And he is whispering to you. And usually the way that comes about is through putting thoughts in your head. He will put thoughts in your head telling you to do things. He'll say, call that person and check on them. Go apologize to that person. Send that person a thank you note. Tell that person about me. Invite that person to church. Help that family out financially. Stop what you're doing right now and give that person a hand. Go tell Pastor Andy that you love his preaching. You never know what God is going to tell you or the whispers that he's going to put in your mind. But listen, all day long, we need to respond, or we need to be asking or praying this prayer. Lord, what do you want me to do right now? Lord, what should I be doing right now? What do you want me to do right now? And Jesus will put thoughts from time to time in your head. Now, how do you know if those thoughts are from Jesus or from bad gumbo last night? Well, something tells me that if you go help someone out, that God's not going to be disappointed in you. Something tells me that if you help a family out in church who's struggling financially, that Jesus is not going to be like, I cannot believe you did that. And something tells me that you're not going to regret it either. Now, if ever that thought in your head tells you to do something that's unbiblical, remember, this is our standard. This is our measure of truth. We measure everything against the Word of God. This is why you need to be in the Word for yourself, learning the Bible, so you can measure everything against this. But as long as it's not unbiblical, it might be from God. One time a few years ago, because sometimes you don't know until after the fact that it was God. A few years ago, I had a friend, and he got a divorce. And his wife left him. She left him for another man, and then she divorced him. It just crushed him. I mean, it hurt him so bad. And I felt the Lord whisper. I thought, I blame it on the Lord. Maybe it wasn't the Lord, but I felt this whisper. Go talk to him about me. Go tell him and challenge him to commit his life to Jesus. And so I did. I went to his house, to his apartment. We sat down in the living room, and he was just broken, and we talked. And then I started talking to him about Jesus. And he was raised in the church, but he wasn't a Christ follower. He probably believed in Jesus, but he wasn't a follower of Jesus. And so I challenged him. I said, why don't you put your faith in Jesus, trust in Jesus, hand over the steering wheel of your life to Jesus. Give your life to Christ. He loves you. He's got a plan for you. I said, would you like to do that? He said, I don't think so. And so we talked some more. And then I asked him again. It's like the salesman from hell. I said, what about now? Would you like to put your faith in Jesus now? Would you like to right now commit your life to Jesus? And he said, you know what? I think I would. And he was crying, a grown man right there in his living room. We got on our knees and he invited Jesus into his life. He gave his heart to Jesus. And I'm telling you, that was about 10 years ago. He's a leader in his church. He's a small group leader in his church. He married another Christian woman. He's living for God to this day. Now, I don't know if God whispered that to me, but I'm sure glad that I obeyed that prompting. And you never know what God's going to do through your life when he whispers to you. So listen to him all throughout the day. Lord, what do you want me to do right now? And listen. Listen to those thoughts that are in your head. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to learn to do life with God 24/7. Keep a close, constant connection with Jesus all day long. Talking to him, listening to him, because as you keep a constant, close connection with Jesus, he will change you. So how do you put this into practice on Monday morning? I've told you this before. We've done this before. How many of you remember the 60-60 challenge? Remember that? All you need to do to learn how to do this is get a watch with a chime. That means it beeps every hour on the hour. Get you a digital watch. This one's probably about $10 from Target, a little Timex, but it's got a chime. And I still use the chime for this reason to this day. Every hour on the hour, it'll beep at you. And use that as a reminder, I need to reconnect with Jesus right now in this moment. Now, hopefully, we'll learn to connect with Jesus all during the hour, but at least we'll be reminded as we're getting started with this new habit. Get you a watch with a chime, and that'll help you. Before we close, let me ask this question. What does all this have to do with the gospel of Jesus, with the salvation message of Jesus? None of us can be the person, can become the person that we want to be unless Jesus is the one who does the changing, unless he frees us. The Bible says when we're born into slavery to sin. That without Christ, we're slaves to sin. What that means is you can't get away from it. You cannot stop sinning without Jesus. Now, immediately you're thinking, well, I know lots of non-Christians who have stopped drinking or stopped smoking or stopped this or that without Jesus. Here's what the Bible says. You're a slave to sin. What this means, if you want to stop once, if you're not a Christian, let's say you're addicted to alcohol. If you're not a Christian and you want to overcome your alcoholism, what you'll have to do is swap your god of alcohol for another false god. So if you're addicted to alcohol and you want to overcome alcoholism, without God, what you'll have to do is you can overcome alcohol, but you'll need to get addicted to something else, maybe marijuana. You say marijuana is not addictive, but what it'll be is a functional god. You'll look to it for your hope and for your strength. You need Jesus to free you, because all you'll do without Jesus is you'll swap one addiction for another, one sin for another. So you, without Jesus, you may be able to overcome smoking, but what you'll have to do is pick up another addiction, maybe food, maybe approval, maybe work, maybe something like that. But only through Jesus can we find true freedom and total freedom from sin so that we can live the life that we were created to live. We need Jesus. That's what he does. That's why salvation is sometimes called redemption, which means freedom. Christ frees us from bondage to sin. And so what I want to do is before we close and as we close is give you an opportunity to commit your life to Jesus today and to say, Jesus, would you come and free me from sin? Maybe you're here this morning and you're not 100% sure that Jesus lives in your heart. And you're not 100% sure that you're going to heaven if you died today. You like Jesus, you believe in Jesus, but you're not sure if you're saved. But Jesus wants to save you. All you have to do is put your faith in him and say, Jesus, come in my life and save me. And so I want to give you an opportunity right now, just like I gave my friend that opportunity in his living room, to invite Jesus into your life to save you and free you from sin right this moment. So why don't you bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you're not 100% sure that you're saved, that you're a Christian, then why don't you take this moment to say once and for all, Jesus, come and save me and make me into the person that you want me to be. Give your life to him right now. Hand over the steering wheel of your life to him completely, as best you know how, anyway. You can pray a prayer like this one. Repeat it after me in your heart. And mean this with all your heart. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I want to turn from my sins and follow you. I believe that you died for my sins and rose again. And I accept you as my Savior and King. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Give me new life. Help me to follow and obey you from this day forward. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you weren't 100% sure that you're saved, if you're not 100% sure that Jesus is in your life, that you're going to heaven, and you just prayed that prayer to give your life to Jesus, then I would like to, in just a moment, ask you to raise your hand so I can pray for you, so you can acknowledge yourself to me, the pastor, so I can know where you are in your walk with Jesus. So when I count to three, if you weren't sure that Jesus was in your life, but you just prayed that prayer to give your life to Christ, when I count to three, would you just raise your hand? Nobody's looking but me. One, two, three. Just raise your hand up. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? You just pray that prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would continue to work in our hearts and in our lives, making us into the people that you want us to be. I pray that you help us to be a church that keeps a constant close connection to you. Help each and every person in this room know how to make the necessary changes in their lives, to stay close, Lord, to stay connected, Lord, and not to give up whenever change doesn't happen overnight, but just to keep that connection. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.